Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. And I've actually got about seven verses to read. But I thought I might get somebody else to read it for me. And this is not scripted or anything else like that, but far. How would you like to come and read for me? Would you do that? You're a good reader. And use my Bible because the print is big. And so we're going to read Genesis 28. I'll read from, and she's not had a practice to read this. I don't think there's any big words there. She'll be okay. From verse 10 through to verse 17.
Jacob's dream at Bethel. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to the heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are laying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." But he was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven."
Thank you, Fern. You can give that microphone to Rochelle. Yeah, give her a hand. Thank you. Thank you for that. Verse 16 and 17 says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it.' But he was also afraid and said, 'What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven.'" I don't know if you've all heard of Jacob before, but some of you have, some of you haven't. But this man Jacob is a very important character in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And we read in the Bible that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Consequently, Jacob's children and descendants later became the nation of Israel, just to let you know that. And even today, the modern day Israeli traces their lineage back to Jacob. Jacob lived a long time ago, about 3,500 years ago. He lived in an ancient culture where people worshipped all sorts of weird idols. Life expectancy was short, and life was really violent. And men often had many wives, not one after the other, but all at the same time. Polygamy was the culture of the day. And that wasn't good, but it's actually how the women survived in that culture at that time. Who thinks one wife's enough? We're not going to add any more comments to that, are we, guys? In addition, in that culture of the day, and there's a reason why I'm emphasizing this aspect, it was not uncommon for people to actually marry within their family. That's how it was. Nonetheless, in that brutal ancient world, and it was very brutal, there were those few people, just a few, who worshipped Almighty God. For example, a man called Melchizedek. Who's ever heard of a man called Melchizedek? There was just a few, very few, who worshipped Almighty God. And Jacob's grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, we've all heard of these guys, were among the few devoted followers of Almighty God that lived at that time. And Jacob, he learned about God the Creator from his family, and he became a worshiper of God himself. However, those ancient followers of God had lots of family issues. In fact, everybody in that culture had lots of family issues. What a surprise! It's what happens when you marry lots of wives. Again, I'm not commenting any further about that. If you are looking for a model family in the Old Testament as an example for your family, then you'll be severely disappointed because there aren't any good model families in the Old Testament. The Old Testament characters, and there's reasons for that that I won't talk about today, they may have been great heroes of faith, but they had no idea about family life. The fact is it is because of a huge, huge, huge family problem that we actually have this passage in the Bible that Farah read out a few moments ago. This man, Jacob, had a twin brother called... Anybody here a twin? Anybody a twin? Put your hands up. Actually, what if all the twins just stand to your feet? Come on. Twins, Dave, you're a twin. Okay, yeah, it's great. Let's give the twins a hand. Come on. Do we have any Jacobs here while we're at it? Hey, Jacobs? I know there's a Jacob in the youth group. He's not here today. Jacob. Yeah. Well, Jacob was a twin, and his brother's name was Esau. And they were actually opposites in every way. What do you call them when twins when they don't look alike? Fraternal, is it? Fraternal? Yeah. They were the opposites, in also personality. And because they were opposites, they were constantly competing with each other. And the rivalry became between Jacob and his brother Esau became so severe that Jacob's mother had to intervene and to arrange for Jacob to leave home for his own safety because his brother was threatening to kill him. Great family. In addition, Jacob's mother and his father decided that since Jacob was not married, he should actually escape to a place called Haran, where there were some family relatives, and maybe he could find a cousin or two or three or four to marry. So it was. He found two while he was there. The problem with that idea was that the town Haran was 700 kilometers to the north from Jacob's home. And home for Jacob that time was in a place called Beersheba. Many of you have heard about Beersheba. Who's heard about Beersheba? Big things are happening in Beersheba this year. Beersheba was a famous town that still actually exists in Israel today. And it's famous for us as Australians because during the First World War, on October the 30th, 1917, the Australian 4th Light Horse Brigade courageously charged into Beersheba and liberated the town from under the control of the Ottoman Empire. And if anybody's interested, because it's 100 years this year, there's actually going to be a reenactment of that in the month of October later in the year. How about that? Anybody want to go and see that? Anybody want to take me with you? I'd love to see it. It'd be great. Beersheba means well of the oath. There it is, modern Beersheba today. It means well of the oath. Isaac, remember he was Jacob's father, dug the original well of water that later developed into a town and became Beersheba. So Isaac, Jacob's father, started the town of Beersheba. So Beersheba started off just as a well of water, and Jacob lived with his family in tents, not homes, but in tents near that refreshing well of water. And Jacob's personality was such that he just loved to stay amongst the tents and be with his mom. He liked cooking, that sort of thing, while his twin brother was a hunter. He was a man's man. He liked to be out in the bush hunting. And so Jacob loved to be with his mother. He was a mummy's boy, okay? Anybody else a mummy's boy? Nothing wrong with being a mummy's boy. It's just how it is. Jacob was a mummy's boy, where Esau was Isaac's favorite son. Dysfunction. And now, because of family dysfunction, Jacob's now kicked out of the family home for his own survival, mind you. And he's now being sent to a place that he's never been to before to meet family members who did not even know that he actually existed. Beersheba means well of the oath, but Jacob's destiny, Haran, means parched. It's going from the well of the oath to parched. And Jacob probably felt emotionally parched as he headed towards Haran. He had a brother who wanted to kill him. He lost his home. He lost his security. And now he lost his relationship with his mum. And Jacob actually was never ever saw his mother ever again. So as far as Jacob was concerned, he was leaving the comfort of home for the discomfort of an uncertain future. Now it takes about 15 days to walk from Beersheba to Haran, presuming the walker will cover about 45 kilometers per day. Therefore, Jacob probably camped 15 times along the way, 2 weeks worth along the way on his journey to Haran, probably. And that's where we arrive at this intriguing passage that Far read to us a few moments ago. Whew, took a while to get there, didn't it? On one of those 15 days, as the sun was setting, Jacob found a good place to camp. It was just, you know, a good place to camp. And he found a stone. How can you do this to rest your head upon? I couldn't do that. But he found a stone to rest his head upon, and he quickly fell into a deep sleep. And while asleep, Jacob had the most amazing and wondrous dream. In his dream, Jacob saw God. He saw angels. He saw a stairway between the earth and heaven with these angels going backwards and forwards between heaven and earth. And then God spoke to Jacob in the dream. And he promised Jacob the land of Canaan, which is where modern-day Israel is today, for his future descendants. God promised Jacob, this land is yours and your descendants. And incidentally, God has kept that promise even today. Jacob's supernatural dream was a dream of wonder and hope. The sight of God and the angels, though, both frightened and excited Jacob all at the same time. And then when Jacob woke up, he said to himself, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even... What? But he was also afraid because he saw God. He thought he was going to die. But then he said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. Over that 15-day walk to Haran, Jacob's mind undoubtedly was filled with thoughts about his family, his mother. He most probably was grieving over his loss, nervous about his future. And so as he was walking along, he didn't feel blessed. He didn't feel God in his life. And he felt so very, very alone and so very, very isolated. Have you ever felt like that? Come on, have you ever felt like that? I think we all have from time to time. Maybe you're feeling like that today as we're on the brink of this great year. However, Jacob discovered the truth that God can be with you and yet you might not even be aware of it. Our lack of awareness of God does not mean a lack of His presence in our lives. I'll say it again. Our lack of awareness of God does not mean a lack of His presence in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, as you walk through 2017, you will find yourselves in all sorts of places in life, from the mundane through to the exciting, through to the disappointing. But take heart, because God will literally be with you every step of the way, whether you feel His presence or not. God will not leave you in 2017, even for a moment. God is with you in any and every situation, and that is cause for encouragement today. God is with you when you get up in the morning. You don't have to wake Him up and say, wake up, God, wake up, God. He's with you when you wake up in the morning. He's with you when you sleep. God is with you when you're trying to get everyone off to school or off to work. God is with you when you're anxiously figuring out how to pay the bills. God's there. God's with you when you feel alone. God is with you when you're frustrated. that no one will respond to your job applications and give you a go. God is with you when you're at work doing your job. Even if it's mundane, God is there. God is with you when you're at the shops and about to use your credit card. God is with you when you go to the movies. So be careful what movie you're going to watch. God is with you when you're arguing with your husband and wife. Not that it applies to anybody here at Real Life Church. God is with you when you weep from disappointment. We've all had broken hearts. God is with you when you've got the aches and pains in your body. God is with you when your dreams are shattered. But he's also with you when he gives you a new dream. God is with you when you laugh. He's with you when you cry. God is with you when you have success. And God is with you when you're behaving like an idiot. God is actually even here in Gosnells. Can anything good come out of Gosnells? God is here. Yeah. God is wherever you live, whatever suburb you're living. And God is with you when you gather with others at church and worship him. God is in this place right now. God is here in this place. In fact, God is with you right now in your place, in your life situation. The psalmist David gratefully said about God, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. God is always with you. Perhaps we can all be like Jacob and honestly say of ourselves, surely the Lord is in my place, this place. I wasn't even aware of it. But today, we're being reminded that God is with us in our place in life. And you know, there's no place or situation in your life that is so bad and dark that God refuses to enter into it with you. He's with you even in the dark places. Whatever place you're in, God is with you. God is even in the unexpected places. And that changes everything. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You're still with me? Yeah. Everybody's with me? Let's just have a look at that verse again. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid or in awe of God. And he said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The night before Jacob fell asleep, the location of his camp was just another place to have a rest. It was an ordinary place. It was a mundane place. It was a place he would never remember. It was a whatever place. You know when some people say whatever? And they have a way of saying it, but nobody can say it like a young person. Whatever. Go and clean your bedroom. Whatever. What'd you do at school today? Whatever. Are you breathing? Whatever. Amy. I think, Amy, you're a good whatever person. Just demonstrate how a young person says whatever. On, come on over. Come on, come on. What did you say to me? Whatever. No, come on, Kelly. Whatever. You know, that teenage whatever. I know you're not a teenager yet.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay, that's about as good as it gets. All right, okay. Give her a hand. Michael, yeah. Michael, come on. One more.
Whatever.
Daniel. Last one. Your dad's come to you and he said, listen, son, I want you to come down and help me in the warehouse. And you respond with?
Whatever.
That was good. Whatever. Where am I? Whatever. He camps in a whatever. And, you know, it's not just teenagers. Maybe you feel like you're in a whatever place in your life. Maybe your whole life has become whatever. You're in a whatever marriage, in a whatever house, in a whatever suburb like Gosnells, and with a whatever car, going to whatever job. Life is just so whatever. I just don't say it right, do I? No, but I'm trying. Actually, Rochelle's a good whatever. If you behave yourself, Rochelle, I'll let you off. If you're not behaving on the front row, I'll get you to come up and do it. Whatever. Actually, yeah, whatever. But you see, after Jacob encountered God in that whatever place, Jacob fell into a deep, holy fear and wonder, and he declared, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to. Only the day before, that same campsite was just a whatever. But now after his encounter with God in that dream, Jacob decided that same place was now awesome. What was previously a whatever place with Jacob now become a wow place. I'll say it backwards. Wow. I'll say it upside down. Mum. Amen. Yeah. Jacob's realization of God's presence, God is here, his realization, caused him to see his situation, the whatever situation, differently, and it caused him to feel better. Feels a really important word, I think. It caused him to feel better, although his circumstances actually still remain the same. Now, like many others, I require reading glasses to read books. I think I brought my reading glasses with me, as I do. And I've got good reading glasses, and when I put my reading glasses on, I can see words clearly. It's really good. In fact, I went to the optometrist to get my eyes done again, and my long distance has actually improved. How about that? But my reading has deteriorated, so it's gone the other way. So I've got really good reading glasses. And it's amazing how I just sometimes, and for those of you, many of you identify with this, I just can't even see it. Put the reading glasses on, you can see it clearly. See, when you engage life with faith that says God is always with you, then you see things that you didn't see before. Suddenly you begin to see possibilities that you never saw before. You see treasure in your whatever place that you never saw before. Things just look better. Problems are colored with hope instead of being colored with despair. And wow becomes a better word to describe your place and situation instead of whatever. Jacob did not need a new place. He just needed a new way of looking at the place he was in. So Jacob got a dream from heaven that convinced him that God was with him at that mundane place where he'd camped. And that dream produced wonder. Oh, to have wonder in our lives again. Wonder and amazement in Jacob's heart. Possibly it had been a long time since Jacob had felt any wonder and wow about his life. And maybe it's the same for you. When was the last time you felt wonder about anything? Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. You know. Donald Trump won the election, whatever. Scorchers won cricket the other night, whatever. Pastor David preached again, whatever. You know, just, I got married the other day, whatever. When was the last time you felt wonder about anything? When was the last time you ever felt wow about anything in your life, you know? Maybe you would like a dream like Jacob to give you that wonder and wow. Well, God does give dreams, but while God still speaks to some people through dreams, he's given us actually something far more certain to inspire us than a dream in the night. God has given us his word and his promises in the Bible, and they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We know that God is with us in our place or situation because the Bible says that he is. Hebrews 13 verse 5, God has promises in the Bible, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Folks, that's in black and white there. Come on. Jesus said in Matthew 28 verse 20, he says, and be sure of this, real life church, I am with you sometimes. Come on, always, I'm with you. Always, even to the end of the age. And one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is what God has said in the Bible. Have a be honest about it, sometimes we just get really overwhelmed with the whatevers of life. Who's ever felt like that? Nobody's putting their hands up. I felt like that. Has it ever felt like you think, oh man? We just get overwhelmed, don't we, sometimes with the whatevers of life, the whatevers. And we then lose sight. You know, it's all about the sight. We lose sight of the wonders of God's presence in our lives, and we forget sometimes the promises of God until you come to church and you're reminded about it again. And so we end up feeling, there's that word again, feeling whatever, instead of feeling wow. And we'll continue talking about this next week and see what we can do about it. Amen? No, okay. Whatever. Therefore, in order to step into the wonder and the wow in the place that we find ourselves in, we need to change the language we're using to describe the feelings about the place that we're in. Change your language. Let me give you an example. Last week, we went to Melbourne, as I've already said, and last week our son Ben and his wife Cherie took Rochelle and myself for a two-day trip along the Great Ocean Road in Victoria. Anybody ever done that trip? I strongly recommend it. Just phenomenal. And we drove out to the 12 apostles, even though there's only about seven of them left. We drove out to the 12, they're falling over. We drove out to the 12 apostles and we stayed at Apollo Bay. Some of you might be familiar with that. And it really was truly beautiful. However, all along the way, Rochelle repeatedly kept commenting on the wonder of the beautiful scenery. Really, it was sickening at times. That's all I'm going to say. I just need to get that off my chest. But she just was. And I honestly thought, I'll be honest with you, you know what husbands and wives are like. I was sitting in the back of the car and I honestly thought, boy, she's going overboard, expressing her delight at what she saw as we traveled along, you know. And I just wasn't engaged. I was trying. I just wasn't engaged with the scenery as much as Rochelle. I actually was more focused on where I would get my next cup of coffee from. I really was. And thinking how much longer till we stop. But Rochelle, having been married for 34 years together, she just ignored my lack of wow and my whatever attitude. And Rochelle just stuck to her guns. And I don't know what she was feeling, but she just continued to have a positive comment to make about everything from the waves. I mean, who hasn't seen a wave before? But, you know, waves to the rocks. Who hasn't seen a rock before? Even the sky. I've seen it. I've seen the sky. But she had a positive comment to the beaches. It was like she'd never even actually seen a wave in her life, you know, before. And Rochelle just kept repeating words like, amazing. This is amazing. Ben, thank you. This is amazing. And then she'd go, wow, wow, wow. And then she'd go and point, which she'd go, wow, just look at that, would you? And I'm going, just look at that. Wow, wow, wow. Amazing, amazing. And then it all came to a crescendo when she shouted out like Brian Whitehurst, glory. She really did. Ladies and gentlemen, she really did. Ben loved that. And then it rained. And Rochelle said the weather was, this is just perfect. She just wouldn't stop speaking. Well, honestly, folks, and, you know, while everything to me was whatever, then all of her expressions of wonder and delight, you can only resist for so long. It just started to rub off on me. It started rough on grumpy, desperate for a coffee me. And I started to just pick it up. It actually started to lift my spirits. And I started to become engaged with the scenery and thinking, yeah, that is a pretty good wave. Yeah, those rocks are amazing. Yeah, because my eyes started to open. I was looking at it all the time, but now my eyes were opening to the scenery and the beautiful coastline. And the scenery really was wow. It was wow. And at one point, we stopped on the side of the road and we stood in awe at the sight of a mother koala climbing up a tree with a baby on its back. Wow, wow, wow. And for me personally, that was a real highlight, seeing this koala climbing this tree like that out in the wild. And the trip was amazing. And we were just buzzing with excitement and we were buzzing with wow. But I nearly did miss the wow. I would have missed it if I hadn't broken out of my whatever. Yeah, another trip. But I broke out of whatever because Rochelle kept speaking wow to her stubborn husband. And she kept saying wow so much that I ended up speaking wow with her. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you, we serve a wow God who's done wow things and who is still doing wow things in our lives. Open your eyes and see it. Amen. Rochelle helped create a wow atmosphere over our Great Ocean Road trip, and we ended up, and this is it, we ended up enjoying wow feelings. And I really like wow feelings. But the wow feelings of that trip were first preceded by the wow words we used on the trip. I'll say it again. The wow feelings of that trip were first preceded by the wow words we used on the trip. People of faith understand that you speak wow before you feel wow. I'll say it again because this is so important. People of faith understand that you speak wow before you feel wow. And this is the thing. You could choose to speak wow. Yeah, you can. You could choose to speak wow about anything in your life because God is with you in your place. Your whatever job can become wow. At least I've got a job. Your whatever marriage can become a wow marriage if you start calling your marriage wow. When was the last time your wife, oh, maybe I shouldn't go there, I won't even go there. Oh, whatever. You know, when your wife dresses up really beautiful and she's made the effort, when was the last time you looked at her, no matter how long you've been married, and went, it's amazing, guys, that when you look at your wife and go, wow, she starts to even look wow again. I'm hoping nobody misunderstands any words I'm saying right now. Anybody understand what I'm saying? It's what marriage is. You want to have a good marriage? Well, choose your words carefully. Amen. When you speak wow, you start to see the wow. And when you see the wow, you start to feel the wow. When you speak wow, you start to see the wow. And then when you see the wow, you start to feel the wow. A wow feels better than whatever. Wow, we're in church today. Wow, I'm going to real life church today. Wow, we're going to have a great sermon today. Wow, I'm with others who are following the Lord like me. I'm not on my own. Wow, wow, wow. Your whatever place can become your wow place in 2017. Just make the choice. There is so much to be wow about. We live in Australia. Wow, wow, wow. I turn the tap on and I can drink the water that actually comes out. Wow, wow, wow. You can even be, I've got a clip for you. You can even be wow about a sponge cake. Here we go.
Dad reckons Mum is the greatest cook on earth.
What do you call that, Dale?
Sponge cake.
Beautiful. And what's that stuff on top?
Icing sugar.
How is it, kids? Now, why would you want to go out to a restaurant when this keeps coming up night after night?
There you go. That's it. I love that. Who knows that movie? That should be compulsory viewing, that movie, for any immigrant coming to Australia. Amen. Whenever you speak whatever about something, you see whatever about something and you feel whatever. But when you speak wow about something, you see wow and you eventually feel wow. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid. He was in awe and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. I just about finished. Just want to make a couple of comments and we're finished. In all of this message, I sincerely do not wish to trivialize anybody's difficulties here today and make light of them. That's not the point of this message. And if you've got a broken heart here today, I would never trivialize that. Absolutely not. Those feelings and that situation is real. But I do know that God is with you in your place, no matter how difficult life is for you. In fact, God says this to you in Isaiah 43, 2-3, says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. There it is again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God is in the unexpected places, including your most difficult times. That's comment. Therefore, it's a challenge. Will you, by faith in God's promise to never leave you or forsake you, will you start to speak this year the wow and the awesome over those whatever places you will find yourself in this year? If you do that, you will see God work richly in you and through you in 2017. That's the end of the message. Come on, let's stand to our feet, everybody. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just pray. Let's pray. Let's just talk to God right now. Let's talk to Him. You're going to have a great week. I'm going to pray the blessing of God upon you in just a moment. But let's not let this moment escape us. Let that word just...